Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Sean Campbell, Adam Harahawk, your local alternative solid stage radio. Glad to have you here on a Wednesday afternoon. And to say the least, we're still feeling a bit deprived over here at Happy Hour because we're now a week since the last time the Wings have played a hockey game, and it's not good. Adam's over there, just scratching at himself, just like jonesing for that hockey fix. Like, he's just all day long. Y'all got any more of that hockey? Like, it's been bad because the incompetent fools who make the schedules over at the NHL have just not been willing to, for whatever reason, let the Red Wings actually play a game this week. Like, Detroit fans basically had last Wednesday and then really nothing to watch until, 3 days from now because reasons. Or maybe because, I assume it's just because we've made so much fun of bobblehead Gary Bettman over the years that he's just now bound and determined to do this just as a middle finger to the two of us. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But we do have a little bit of hockey stuff to talk about later to kind of scratch that itch for the time being, and plenty of other stuff to do today outside of the realm of sports. So do stick with us. Today's Happy Hour at your local alternative solid state radio. It's Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. Ready to judge people?
Yes, let's judge.
It's what we do best, really. Am I the a-hole for expecting my sister-in-law to babysit my kids? I already have my answer to this one.
I'll bet you do.
And I haven't read any further. My sister-in-law got married to my brother a couple months back. My brother has always been helpful to me and my family. I have 4 kids, all under 10. Since he got married, sister-in-law moved to our province, and she doesn't have any friends or family here. So I'm presuming they're in Canada. We are the only connection they have here. Moreover, she doesn't do any jobs right now as she is settling down in the city. Sometimes I ask my brother to babysit my kids, and he does it without hesitation. So whenever we're busy with work or out of town, sister-in-law used to babysit the kids. She was great with them, but the problem started about a week ago. She refused to babysit the kids at all. Whenever we ask, she says no, as the kids are uncontrollable sometimes. Then I asked them during a call my brother and sister-in-law that anyway, she was home free without a job. Why can't she do it? The conversation got heated. She said she wasn't here for babysitting jobs. After this incident, we haven't called each other in a long time, but I don't know how to approach him. Am I the a-hole to expect my sister-in-law to babysit my kids?
Look, having somebody watch your kids is very important because, I mean, the price of daycare is through the roof. But, I mean, when you really get down to the nuts and bolts, you're kind of the a-hole for forcing people. You want to force somebody to watch your kid for free. Because I'm assuming there's no money changing hands.
Guarantee there isn't.
If your brother likes watching the kids, let him watch. And if she has to get involved, I guess that's between your brother and her. But, just because her schedule is none of your business. You have no entitlement to her schedule. Oh, she's not working. She's not doing that. She should be able to watch my kids. I mean, so what? I mean, if she just wants to stare out the window for 8 hours, if you know, that's her prerogative. She is her own person. And, you know, if her kids get unruly or not, I mean, I guess that's in the eye of the beholder. But, I mean, if she is making the decision, she doesn't want it, she's being open and honest with you, there's nothing you can do. Do you have to like it? No, you don't have to like it, but that's the way life is.
Just on the actual question that you asked me here, am I the a-hole for expecting my sister-in-law to babysit my kids? Yes. Yes, you are. Like, the idea that, you don't have anything better to do. Why can't you watch my little bundles of joy? Because I don't want to. Like, right. That, quite frankly, is an entirely acceptable reason to not want to do this, especially when you, by your own admission, say, yeah, the kids get a little uncontrollable at times.
Yep.
Well, yeah, so why is that her problem then? Like, because she's not, it might be different now if this person was living with you, certainly if they're living with you rent-free or something.
Yeah.
Neither of those appear to be the case here.
No, it sounds like they live autonomously from the parents.
So, like, you're going to be amazed by this, but as it turns out, not everyone wants to be consigned into having to babysit your kids.
I mean,
most people probably don't.
You could try the route of, how are my kids unruly? How can I change the kids? And then maybe don't force, don't guilt trip. Maybe say, okay, hey, kids don't draw on the walls anymore. They don't punch the cat anymore. You want to give it another shot? And it's at the sister-in-law's court. If she wants to try it again, cool. If not, hey, that's just the way it is. Nobody's required to watch your kid except for you.
Yeah, you're kind of required to do it. That's about it.
Yep. You can't chain them up in the backyard, I guess.
Have you tried offering her money to do it?
Yeah, that might be something else.
Because like when you start coming after her, like you're entitled to her free time. Like, well, you don't have anything else going on. Why can't you be my free babysitter?
Yeah, right.
That comes off as just entitled as all get out.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's not like, well, you're not doing anything. You have no job, no skills, no nothing. You're just sitting there watching Jerry Springer. I should have every entitlement to your free time. No, you don't. No, you don't.
I feel like I've seen that commercial before.
Yeah.
Like you're one step away from, you know, from being a community college, apparently.
Yeah.
No, you're not entitled to a free time, period, full stop.
Yeah. I mean, we are lucky at the moment because we have a lot of people who just love watching Joey. And we appreciate that, but
yeah,
because if not, I mean, like daycare, it's like I want to say it's like $100 a day or something like that.
It ain't cheap.
No, it's. I'm in the wrong business. I'm gonna tell you that much.
Yeah, but would babysitting really be the right daycare be the right business for you, Adam?
Yeah.
Do you really want to deal with other people's children?
No, I'd probably hire people to. I love watching baby pool. Come on over to my place where I have a day. That's wow. This is a tool shed. Yeah, look at all the toys for the kids to play with. No, good luck. Padlock. It's hot in here. It's a sauna at Adam's Kids Spa. It's a normal workout regimen. You mean chores? Yep.
My God, man. You have 8 kids?
Yeah.
Well, I guess not. Yeah, they're all live in your house anymore.
No,
but still.
No. Thank God.
Yeah. No, yeah, no.
At Adam's Daycare, we have a 98% survival rate. And we stand by that.
98%? It's gone up. I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Well, just look at you.
Come to find out when they can't find the body, it doesn't count as a
Well, damn. I didn't even think about that. There you go.
Yeah, I just got a bunch of toddlers with shovels. Swing low, sweet cherry.
Jesus.
Dig faster. This one's starting to smell. Oh, here comes CPS.
Yeah, that's all you need. Oh, let's do one more real quick, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Am I the a-hole for telling my mom it's my baby shower, not hers? I, 25-year-old female, am pregnant with my first baby. I'm so excited for this new chapter of my life. My mom and I are currently planning my baby shower.
Oh, boy.
My parents recently got divorced. Since the divorce, my mom has really struggled with my brother and I spending our time with dad's family. I understand how and why it's hard for her. She feels like we prioritize my dad's family over hers, but we don't have any relationship with her family. Her family's messy. Several of them were drug addicts. They were always fighting. It just wasn't a good environment for kids.
Right.
I didn't hear from anyone on my mom's side of the family when I got engaged or married, which is fine. It's a testament to the lack of relationship I have with them. Now that the baby shower's in the works, I have a guest list which had about 57 people on it. I asked mom who from her family she wanted me to invite. She had 17 people, 7 of which are friends she's had for less than 2 years. The rest are her family who I don't really know.
The family, I mean, you can get out of that real quick. Say, hey, listen, I had a wedding. They didn't show up. I've had no connection with these people at all. Now, if you want to bring in the people that you've known for less than 2 years and they're bringing gifts, sure, they can come out there and, you know, have a piece of crappy cake and stuff like that. But other than that, yeah, I'm in charge of the guest list because I'm brewing this baby in here.
Oh, it gets better, though. I had too many people on the guest list and had to remove some of them. I removed 9 people from my list. I asked mom who I could remove from hers. She replied to my text and said, everyone I sent you is important. I would like you to keep them on the list. Shortly after, she asked if I ended up removing anyone from her list. I told her I removed 3 people who I hadn't seen or heard from in at least 10 years. She told me one of them was already informed of the shower and verbally invited. So she asked me to send an invite to this person. I did with no hesitation. A few days later, while we were out to brunch, she said, there were other people I would have preferred you to take off the list than the people you did. I explained that she could have told me this when I asked her who to take off. She explained that since she's paying for the shower, she can invite whoever she wants. Side note, I don't want her or anyone else to pay for the shower for this exact reason. So the people who took off from her list are people I haven't heard from in a decade. She said, my milestones are her milestones, therefore she should be able to celebrate with whoever she wants. She said, if there's room for 60, she should be able to invite 20. I told her it's my baby shower, not hers. Needless to say, we never came to an understanding. She just accused me of being inconsiderate, and I left the restaurant crying. I see where she's coming from, but I only removed two of her people, so am I the a-hole?
No, you're not the a-hole. You should tell her, it's like, oh, I found the perfect person to eliminate from the guest list. Yeah, who? The baby. I'm going for an abortion. You shut up, or I'm going to the clinic.
And this is why I always say when things like, usually it's with weddings and things, mm-hmm. but it still applies here. This is why you don't let other people be in charge of the finances for your events, because the second you give people money, they feel empowered to make it about them, and that now we're going to do things the way I want to do them.
Yep, exactly. I've seen it so many times when I used to DJ weddings. If somebody wants to help pay for a wedding, baby shower, or whatever, perfect. But sit them down, make it known, I am in charge of the plan. My wife / baby mama, she's in charge of planning. If you want to give us money, that's fine, but that is not investing anything in there for you to decide. Like, anything.
Yeah, you're welcome if you want to throw in money or whatever, but just so you know, going in, like, before you give us 1 cent for anything, like, nope. We're doing this the way we want to do it, and if that's a problem for you, then...
F off. I mean...
honestly, yeah. Basically that.
I mean, we see this way too often. You got to have... You know what? I appreciate the money, but you're not going to rule... This is her baby. I mean, may not even have another one. So it's like, this is my milestone. I want to do things this way. I want these people here. I don't know these people. You know, I'm not going to eliminate people that I know in favor of somebody from your, you know, bridge club, from your book club. Nobody cares.
Right. Like, why do you get to invite, why do you get to decide the guest list for someone else's event?
Right.
I'm not okay with that, and that's why you don't accept, that's one of those cases where you don't accept money from them at all. Like, no, don't want your money, because I'm doing this the way I want to do it. You're not getting a say in it, period.
Yeah, mom, you're not invited now. How do you like that?
Yeah, you know, I found about 17, 18 people we can trim off the guest list, and all of them are you and the people you invited.
It's pretty sad when the very first baby shower that we had to hire Pinkerton to keep people out.
Pretty sad.
Oh, it looks like here comes the mother. Oh, here comes the grandmother. Oh, just, yep, turn on the fire hose. You go on get.
Yeah.
Some big old guy, I'm sorry, you're not on the list. Go ahead and stand behind the velvet rope.
And it's only going to get worse. Like this, oh, your milestones are my milestones. Like, she's going to make every future event in your life or your kid's life about her.
Exactly.
Be prepared for it now, and quite frankly, you might just want to consider going no contact here.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, it is what it is. So, yeah, there's kind of the elope, kind of when you get married. How about if you just elope having the baby?
I don't think you can really do that, though. Like, how she
just
gonna
take off
for 9 months?
Come off. Well, I mean, I'm assuming they didn't have the baby shower soon after the fertilization. That'd be messed up. All right, we get the cake.
Yeah, but we're still talking like several months here. I mean, they're planning this thing probably once everyone knew they were pregnant.
Yep,
I would think.
Yep.
So you're still talking like they're just gonna disappear for 5 months? Like, okay, sure. That seems
that show them that teach them a lesson.
That would. You know what also teach them a lesson? Cut off all contact. See, once again, where my advice that I always give in these segments is absolutely right and warranted.
Why do we call it like unsolicited advice or am I the a-hole? It should just be like, cut off all contact with Sean and Adam.
You wait. You wait for Friday's unsolicited advice, buddy, because that's pretty much what it's going to be.
I don't want to pay my phone bill. What should I do? Well, I think you should definitely cut off.
Cut off all contact with the phone company. Yeah. See, there you go.
They stopped calling after a while.
Exactly. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio.
If the NHL playoffs started today,
Wings in seven.
The Wings in the second wildcard spot would be taking on the Boston Bruins.
Wings in seven.
I could see it. I could see it.
Honestly, yeah.
They did quite well against them in the regular season. I don't know if they have any more matchups between now and April, but then you got a battle in Florida. Florida Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning. Still haven't heard about Kucherov if he's getting suspended for his behavior. That terrible, terrible behavior.
Oh, for what? Not trying in a stupid exhibition?
Yeah.
Competition. It wasn't even not even a game. Not even an exhibition game at this point.
Yep.
It's a stupid skills competition that he probably didn't want to participate in because nobody wants to participate in the stupid All-Star game.
Right.
I'd probably still give it to Tampa in seven.
Tampa in seven. Well, yeah, they know what. Even though Florida has been there, Florida is the perennial favorite. I mean, they know what's going on. I mean,
Tampa Bay is a perennial favorite, you mean?
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Florida has been there. They were there last year.
Yeah.
In the finals. Then you got the Rangers and the Toronto Maple Leafs who are would be in that first wild card spot.
I'm tempted to say the Rangers should pull it off. I mean, for one, they're the better team, even if they are kind of beating up on a Metropolitan Division, which is not nearly as strong at the top as the Atlantic is. But also, Toronto has a, well, known history against the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, well, they broke that last year.
And I expect that streak to start anew this year.
I don't know. I'd see them getting to the second round, but then not going any farther than that. Because the Rangers, I don't know, they just eliminated Nick Bonino. Unconditional waivers. Just get out of here. I don't know what's going on there, but
I don't either.
If you're about to make a playoff push, you don't want to get rid of a veteran presence like Nicky Bonino, but here we are.
Well, I'm looking. So far this season, he's been good for one goal and four assists over the course of 45 games.
Ouch.
He's 35 years old, and you got to kind of think he's washed at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. Maybe they're planning something because the trade deadline is 1 month from Thursday. So
we're getting close.
We're getting real close. Carolina, the Bunch of Jerks, and Philadelphia Flyers in the Metropolitan. In the best of seven, who do you think walks out, skates away with that one?
I'd say, honestly, Bunch of Jerks in five. Like, for as good as Philly has looked this season under John Tortorella, Carolina is still very much the playoff experienced team here. And also, they actually have goaltending, which right now Philly does not.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. I would be rooting for Philly just because Tortorella.
Because of Torts.
Yeah. I mean,
who doesn't love Torts except like literally the entirety of the media?
Right, exactly. Then over in the West, the first playoff spot, nobody saw that. Who saw this coming? Put your hand down. The Vancouver Canucks in the first of the Pacific.
I called it. Or, that is not true.
Actually, are they first in the
West? They're first in the West, yes.
Wow. Wow. I mean, good on them against a second wild card spot of the St. Louis Blues. I would have to say Vancouver in five, Vancouver in six.
I'd go so far as to say Vancouver in four.
Sweep. Yeah, because, I mean, you've lost a lot of good players in St. Louis. I mean, they're still in the playoff. They're still in the talks. Can't take that away from them, but you get under Jordan Binnington's skin, and you've got him. You're living rent free in his head.
Then it is weird how watching that team. Obviously, Craig Berube got sacked after they played us.
Right.
Drew Bannister has now got him on a 13-7-1 run for whatever it might be worth. There was something to that.
Yeah, something about switching coaches definitely helps because now we talk about the Edmonton Oilers. I think they're still on a winning streak. I believe they're on a 15-game winning streak. They would be taking on the Vegas Golden Knights.
That would be, arguably, that'll be the best series of the ones you've mentioned so far. That'll be the best one. I mean, other than, obviously, for us, Wings and Bruins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's going to be seven games, and I think Vegas pulls it out in the end. But Vancouver will give them a fight. Wouldn't that suck for them? I give Edmonton a better shot against Vancouver than I would against Vegas?
I'm going to say seven. I'm going to agree with you in seven, but I think Edmonton Oilers are rolling right at the right time. I think it would probably be oil country.
Is it really the right time when we're talking not even to the trade deadline yet? Now you,
if
you,
they
you
keep
can
this
talk,
up, I mean...
Yeah, but how this isn't sustainable. I mean, it's been rather interesting to watch. It's been...
They've been almost doing it for 20% of the season. I mean, I don't know.
Can't keep up, though. There's
no
way. Like,
I know, but...
Especially because they don't have goaltending.
They're doing something because they are putting up the W's. Then we move over to the Colorado Avalanche against the first wildcard spot, the LA Kings, who just fired their coach. Apparently being in the playoff picture isn't enough.
Apparently not. Todd McClellan, he is out after five seasons in L.A.
Yep. I mean, Colorado, right? I mean, Colorado in five.
Colorado in five, easily.
Maybe L.A. would steal one at home, but no, it's definitely the Avs. Stars and Jets. Dallas Stars and Winnipeg Jets in the Central.
Who's coaching the Jets? The Kings the rest of the way. Like, there's nobody listed. I assume it's just Anze Kopitar at this point. He's just
could be. Could very well be. I didn't hear about an interim coach or anything like that. But I think they'd just be lambs to the slaughter against a team that if Nate McKinnon is humming right at the right time, he's got it.
True. So who's your next matchup? The Jets and
Stars. Dallas Stars and Winnipeg Jets in the Central.
I mean, I feel like you have to give that one to the Stars. I know these two teams are fairly evenly matched.
Yep.
But you just look at just how that team is rolling right now. Jason Robertson is really just kind of securing his spot.
Where did he come from? Wow. I mean, the last couple of seasons, he just took control of that team.
I mean, he was very much in rookie of the year contention his first season. But, like, the last 2 years, he's put up 40 goals. Last year, he put up 109 points. Yep. We're a little over halfway through the season, and he's not on pace to break 40 this time around, but I also wouldn't put it past him down the stretch to do so.
Yeah.
Like, that offense is just firing on all cylinders. You've got a good seven guys in that roster. You've got 10 or more goals at present. I think it goes to at least six, but I would put Dallas on the winning side there.
I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, the Jets are no joke, but they just don't really seem like they could go the full distance in a seven-game series in the first round. I just think they would get in their own way, to be perfectly honest.
You tend to kind of think that. I mean, you have an all-star goalie in Connor Hellebuyck.
Yes.
No doubt about that. Like, that's been very, very much a plus for that team. And obviously, Mark Scheifele still contributing as much as ever.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Kyle Connor has really stepped things up.
I forgot about him.
But then beyond them and Ehlers and Perfetti, like, you don't really have a great deal of depth. You don't have a lot of other guys who are contributing a great amount of points here, honestly. I tend to think that Hellebuck could steal him a couple games in a playoff series, but not like Dallas's goaltending is any slouches either.
No.
Certainly Jake Oettinger has been
as
good as he normally is, but it seems like in playoff time, he traditionally...
The entire team kind of dials it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely he does. So
Dallas in six.
I wouldn't put them out of it yet. I mean, the season it was at 21-22 where they just went on a decent tear. He had a goals against a 181.
Ooh, nice.
306 in the last playoffs, which ain't great. But I think they've got enough firepower to kind of overcome a lot of their issues.
Yep.
So no, give me Dallas in six, maybe seven. I think Hellebuck could push him to a game seven.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it, but yeah, there's no way they're getting out of that first round. It's going to be all Dallas. All Dallas.
Agreed.
All the time. And then it'd be, do we speculate from there, or are we just calling it good?
I think I'm fine with that. Like, when we start talking the next round matchups,
there's so much that could happen in that first round that's going to have some sort of bearing with somebody's either somebody's game just completely goes to hell or injured.
Hell, quite frankly, there's still things that could be done at the trade deadline that could change a lot of this playoff picture anyway.
Oh, very much.
Yeah, because we don't know who's going to be on the move before March 8th anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not really, I'm not yet prepared because I'm still holding out hope that the Wings are going to acquire a defenseman at the deadline.
I would hope so. I mean, you talked about people out there. I think it was like Darth Vader or whatever his name is, or
Chris Tanev and Noah Hanifin.
Hanifin. Sounds like, have you or someone know overdosed on Hanifin? Call us. You might be entitled to a reward.
Financial compensation.
Yeah. Something like that. I mean, they do need another defenseman to really help out because there's a couple guys who are just not getting it done.
Jeff Petrie. Like, something has to be done there, man. I'm sorry. Like, this can't continue on like this. I know that we were all excited when he came here because of what he'd done in the past. And
yeah, absolutely.
Mostly
yeah.
That he's Dan Petrie's kid. But, like, come on.
Yeah, he's...
He's been underwhelming, to say the least, and an outright bust to really probably be more accurate.
Yeah, he's been in the penalty box more than anything. And it's just... It's not a good look. He's taken up a good roster spot that we're going to need for to make a playoff push.
It's now being suggested that Jonathan Berggren could be a trade ship at the deadline.
I have seen that. And it depends on what we get in...
Jacob Chychrun.
That would not be bad. We saw what he was able to do before, so, I mean...
I'd trade Chychrun for Berggren straight up right now.
Yep, absolutely.
I don't care. I'm fine with it.
Chychrun and Berggren? Yeah, I can do that.
I don't know if I doubt you probably do a straight up move or a one for one deal.
No,
but
no, there'd be draft picks going the way of Ottawa, and we know Steve Yzerman and his draft picks. He's Scrooge McDuck, and would you really want to trade that kind of stuff to somebody in your division?
Well, I mean, it's not like you already haven't made a trade with them, a rather major one that kind of landed you a big star here.
Yeah, this is true. That is true. They're like, we're never doing that again. Steve Yzerman's number's blocked.
Never again. We're never even talking to these guys again. There's also been a rumor, for what it's worth, that the Wings are interested in somebody from those Ducks of a Anaheim nature.
Oh, really?
A cat by the name of Frank Vetrano.
Frank Vetrano. Okay.
He's a winger. A left wing. He's got 22 goals and 12 assists so far this season for Anaheim.
Oh, wow.
He's also a minus 13 for whatever it's worth. But, yeah, I mean, this team is trash, yeah, so that's to be expected.
Exactly. If it's if he's better than a minus 20, consider that a win. Because Anaheim has been, for having some good players on the roster, they really are really blanking the bed.
It seems like. I mean, you think a team with the kind of talent like, well, Vetrano and Troy Terry and Trevor Zegras, who it sounds like is as good as gone at the deadline.
Yeah. No, what's going on in Anaheim? It's a fire sale.
I wouldn't mind
having Zegras. Yeah, I know we need defensemen. Zegras is kind of a sexy prospect.
I know, but it's I think a little too much flash and not nearly enough substance there. I mean, there's one thing he's really, really good at to the detriment of the entire rest of his game.
Yeah. I don't know. We shall see. I'm sure Yzerman probably already has a plan. He's already got it figured out.
Also, he's only played 20 games this year and has a total of 7 points in those 20 games.
Oh. Maybe I'm just looking at name recognition.
Apparently,
I know
he's been injured a bunch. Like, I would assume
he
that has
been benched.
To be.
Yeah, we would have heard about that one.
You would think so. He's probably still moving at the deadline from all indications, but no, there's much better that you could do. I do have a feeling, I mean, because remember how long DeBrincat was talked about? Like, I know Stevie usually moves pretty stealthily, but then we started hearing a lot of talk about DeBrincat up before it happened. So maybe Chychrun for Berggren or whatever, some deal along those lines does happen.
Yep.
I would love to see. You have no idea how much I would love to see that. I mean,
yep. I can't wait. I mean, I love trade deadlines. I love free agency. It's fun.
And, but yet I see everywhere I look at up, mostly like Bleacher Report and a lot of the other hockey sites
sure.
have very much suggested that the Wings are going to be sellers, and I don't see that being the case.
No. No, I don't see them being a seller.
If they're actually in a real like if they're in a playoff spot at the deadline, not even talking wild card, if they're in one of the divisional spots, there's no way he's making a move.
No. No,
I saw those guys when you put Daniel Sprong on the trade market, which
mm-mm.
if you were in fact for sure a seller, like you were like just tanking this thing, okay. Then I could see moving Sprong out of town. But I right now, I want him here. I'd like him here long term.
He's frankly. Deserved an extension. That is for certain. Whether he'd like to stay, I hope so.
It'd be nice. We'd love to. I know, certainly, I'd like to see him stay here for a good long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's brought some real scoring punch to those, the third, fourth line here in Detroit. Like,
mm-hmm. I mean, with the exception of the aforementioned Jeff Petrie, Yzerman's, and maybe James Reimer to a lesser extent. But
Reimer is just filler, though. I don't feel that bad about that one.
I mean, all the decisions that Yzerman made on July 1st has done well. Even Christian Fisher has been kind of a really kind of gritty guy. He hasn't put up a whole lot of numbers.
No, but
he's getting a lot of the what's called the third assists. You know, he's
yeah.
But yeah, he's a grit.
He's not showing up that much on the score sheet, but honestly, you weren't expecting him to when you made that signing in the first place.
No, but he's making good plays to where, and he's not costing you a whole lot. I mean, I like Christian Fisher.
Quite a bit. No, I would agree with that entirely. If you can keep him around, great. If you lock up Sprong for a few years, because yep. They unlock something in that dude.
Yes, they
that
did.
No one else has been able to get out of him at any other stop.
They have really given him a chance to shine, and he's taking care of it. I'd like to see them extend Patrick Kane. Whether that happens, they're going to have to pay him more. You're not going to get him for the $2 million budget plan that you got for, but you know that introductory price is over. But
certainly seems like see, yeah. It seems like if they want him, they should be able to hold on to him.
I would think so. It's gonna be interesting.
It is indeed gonna be interesting. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and apparently it's not normally probably an artist that we bring up much on this show. Although I think we've spun one of Wolfgang Van Halen's tracks on one of our shows of time or two.
Sure. But, and you know, it's Wolfgang Van Halen, he has said he'd love to get like a some sort of tribute thing going to his dad. He'd love to get Van Halen going. He says there's just one member that's keeping things going. And then he says if there's anybody that has a right to play Van Halen songs, it's David Lee Roth. Now,
and it sounds like things were talked about in the past
yeah.
with them doing a reunion tour. I think Sammy Hagar has even said as much, and everyone's alluding to who it is, but no one's come out and said that it's David Lee Roth from keeping this whole thing from going on. But
well, I think it's also Uncle Alex. I don't think he really relishes the fact of doing Van Halen tunes without his brother. But, I mean, that's all behind the closed doors kind of stuff. But now it's like David Lee Roth is just popping off to anybody that will listen against Wolfgang Van Halen. There was one situation, I don't have that in front of me, but I was hearing him on a podcast talking about just going after that kid. He just refers to Wolfie as that kid. Getting rid of some women that he had given tickets to. He got rid of these women that I brought with me, and don't you remember? Haven't you heard of the old days? That's how we did things. Blah blah blah. Well, they decided to go ahead and get rid of all these women I had over there, and well, one of them worked for the venue or something like that that had the money for for everybody, and he got rid of them. So now he's popping off, saying to Wolfgang Van Halen, "Your album was DOA, son. Son, commercially speaking, you got your you know what handed to you."
can someone tell me what David Lee Roth has put out that's been relevant in the last 40 years, give or take?
40? Nothing. Nothing. I think the closest thing he came to was that Little Ain't Enough album, and that spun like one song that was, I don't even know if it cracked the top 40.
Yeah, unless we count the Van Halen reunion album in 2012 or whatever it was. That's about it.
So, after referring to him as this effing kid in a recent YouTube video, it looks as if David Lee Roth has taken aim at Wolfgang Van Halen. In the video, in which at first he seems to apologize for his previous video rant, Roth says, "I've upset some people and I love my old rock band and I miss Ed. And I didn't mean to upset anybody." And it quickly reveals itself to be a facade, saying, "Psych, F you." He then goes on a bit where he portrays Wolfgang as being in therapy and complaining about, quote, not getting any streams. When Wolfgang asks why, Roth, now playing the doctor, says, "I think you're old enough for you to truly understand your album was DOA. Son, commercially speaking, you got it handed to you." Appears to be referring to the final Van Halen album, A Different Kind of Truth, on which Roth and Wolfgang played. Is that what they're talking about? Because that Mammoth EVH seemed to do quite well.
Yeah, that's. I was under that impression, too, that his records did just fine.
Yeah. The album was removed from streaming services, Spotify, Apple Music, and Amazon in October 2022, with Ross suggesting this is because the other members of the band didn't want to pay for lawyers. For his part, Wolfgang said that they want to get the album back up on streaming platforms, but hinted that Roth wasn't making it easy.
As he doesn't make anything easy, like... It's amazing, really, that it seems like arguably the least musically talented member of the band is the one who's like holding things back from happening. Ever.
Also in the video, Roth describes the album as, quote, no fun by using an analogy of Muhammad Ali's final fight. He said nobody wants to remember them because they were no fun. Meanwhile, their former bandmate, Sammy Hagar, has also shared his thoughts on Roth, telling people, look, if you really think about it, what he has said, it's like, do I sense a little tinge of jealousy in there or something? Does he feel like he's left out of something or something? Which that could very well be. David Lee Roth has a huge, enormous ego.
Well, that seems to be fairly self-evident from anyone who's ever come into contact with him.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why he became one of the best frontmen that we... I've ever seen. Absolutely. Oh, he's one of the best. Great singer? No. No, actually quite annoying.
Yeah, no one's going to argue that he's the greatest singer who ever lived by any means. Like, you put on a great show. I don't think anyone's going to argue that Hagar is musically the better singer of the two. Oh, also, has somehow aged, like, pretty damn gracefully.
Oh, my God. I wasn't going to say it, but I'm glad you said it, so I don't have to be that guy. But does he start to look like Mel Brooks or what?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like, man, apparently tequila ages you. Oh, he also spends a lot of time on the beach and the sun, so yeah. He's looking like a leather purse.
Yeah, but honestly, he's still looking better and more of Sammy Hagar-like than Roth does these days.
Roth looks like Dr. Smith from Lost in Space.
Like, he still at least functionally does look like Sammy Hagar and still, like, okay, yeah, he looks like, you know, the same beach bum he always has. But, like, yeah. Roth, like, I think he lost all his hair about 20 years ago at this point.
Yep. Look, I don't see... It's all Van Halen, I get it. But I do think of them as two different bands. You look at Van Hagar, they're good for what they did. You look at Van Halen, they're great for what they did. But they're just two different bands. And it's... I felt bad for the people who would go see Van Hagar expecting a lot of David Lee Roth-esque tunes, which they got, but they got the Sammy Hagar version. That's the whole thing. And then you got to put up with, you know, Love Walks In and Something About Love and Love Does This and I've Loved This and, you know, a lot of love songs in the Van Hagar era.
A lot of love songs,
For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge we're like, oh, yeah, there's our testicles.
It's like, okay, we remember how to rock now.
Uh-huh, yeah, I remember. Oh, except for, all right, we'll put Right Now on there, but that'll be towards the back of the album. And then it became a hit. Thanks, Pepsi.
Right. Way to go, Pepsi, with your garbage ballad music and your garbage soda.
But, I mean, I haven't really heard anything of Wolfgang Van Halen clapping back at David Lee Roth. It just seems like Roth is just taking swipe after swipe after swipe on his dead friend's kid. It's right. Not a good look, Diamond Dave.
No, it's really not. Like, I mean, at this point, he probably figures, well, what the hell's he really got to lose? I mean, he, at this point, he's almost 70. He figures it, his best years have passed him by about, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
What has he really got to lose? But, like, also, like, really kind of tarnishing the legacy a bit.
Yeah. Quite a bit, actually. A lot of it. Yeah, I mean, and you don't have Eddie Van Halen to stick up for himself or his kid or anything and be the mediator. It's an old man beating on a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a good look, DLR. Back off.
And also, one picking on someone who actually still is still, like, putting out songs that chart.
Yes.
Yeah. When's the last time you done that, Diamond Dave?
Yeah, eat a Werther's original, sit on the couch, and shut up.
It really would be for the best for everybody. Really
is. Hey, it's time for your nappy nap. Come on, Dave. Yep. You were a great singer. I'm sorry I'm late. I brought my pencil, but it doesn't is not very sharp anymore because I'm 70.
apologize. Better put David Lee Roth on the apology list. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio. And these are the kind of people that just ruin things for everybody. And, like, I have a feeling this person is going to result in there being a change in policy at Costco.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
A Costco shopper tested the limits of the retail club's return policy by bringing back a 3.5-year-old sofa simply because she, quote, stopped liking it. I just didn't like it anymore. We just don't like the color anymore, the shopper said in a TikTok video that's been viewed who cares how many times.
Right.
The woman explained she did not have the original receipt, but recalled the date on which she'd originally purchased the couch. This allowed a Costco retail clerk to process the transaction and issue her a full refund.
Oh, my God.
I told her the date I bought it. She looked it up at the computer, told me exactly which one it was. That was it. She asked me if there was anything wrong with it. I said, I just didn't like it anymore. They gave us a full refund to his card, so yeah, it worked. Pleased with her experience, she has encouraged her followers to purchase their furniture from the members-only store. Buy your furniture from Costco, girl. You can return it when you don't like it anymore. The stamps are just assumed here.
Wow. Okay. The whole thing about the customer being always right. First of all, that whole line started in the clothing industry in like the 20s. The customer is always right in the world of fashion. Meaning, if they want to buy an orange suit with brown shoes, sell it to them. Customer is always right. This whole thing... Oh, they're going to return this couch from 3 years ago, and if we don't, they're going to give us like a negative review. Let them. Dear Yelp, I tried to take off. I had this couch for 3 years. We did everything on this couch. Decided to take it back because I didn't like it, and they didn't. They would you believe this? They wouldn't take it back. One star. Wouldn't return. Everybody else would just be replying back. Yeah, that's not how this works.
Except people seem to think more often than not that this is exactly how this works, and that's kind of the problem.
That's asinine. I mean, I can't, because you're right, that's going to ruin things for everybody.
And you wonder just how bad a condition this couch was in when they took it back. Like, it's got cigarette burns all over it.
You open it up, there's just like change of Monopoly money and everything shoved down in there.
Animals have used the thing as a toilet once or twice.
Yeah, there's been some fornicating on it. That's just no. That's not how this works. I can't. I'm sure somebody from corporate probably pulled that guy aside and said, "What were you thinking? Well, you said to take everything, but not after 3 years, you chucklehead." I mean, that's better than a Rent-A-Center. You got a couch.
Interest is a lot less.
You got a couch for a $1,200 deposit, and you got it all back. You can't do that with anything else.
No, you can't beat that. Costco does indeed have a generous return policy, according to its website. We quote: "We guarantee your satisfaction on every product we sell, and we'll refund your purchase price." It lists exceptions on products including electronics, diamonds, alcohol, and cigarettes. But does not indicate a time frame by within which shoppers must bring their goods back.
Wow. That is just nuts. I hope nobody... That's so dishonest.
Right. We've already had you know, other stores that have gone back on these things. L.L. Bean at one point allowed its customers to return destroyed goods years after they purchased them. It now imposes a one-year limit on most returns to combat abuse and fraud.
Yeah. I guess I can't say it's dishonest because she's honest. Hey, I bought this couch. I don't like it. I want my money back. Unethical, I guess. But
oh, definitely unethical.
This is... Wow. I mean, we where I work, well, I'm not going to say where I work because, you know, that'd be unethical.
Here, I'm not going to say where I work, but it rhymes with fire.
All right. Got a call from up front. Yeah, we just took... somebody brought up a thing, a Miracle Whip light that is outdated. They bought it and they brought it back. Outdated? That stuff sells out all the time. How did we have it outdated? What's the date on it? July of 2021. There's no way we had this on the shelf. Because it doesn't outdate for like 3 years after you buy it. So they had this in their pantry for the longest time and they just took it back.
Yeah, you can't do that. We're not taking back food that expired after you bought it because you didn't use it in the 3 years that you had to use
it. Right. Makes you kind of want to go back, go to Goodwill, get like a leisure suit from the 70s and like, you know, take it back to, you know, Sears or something like that. It's, I don't like it.
Well, you'd have to find a Sears first.
Yeah, I guess that's, I'm trying to think of an old clothing store. Hudson's, they're gone.
Here, let me try and return this back to McCrory's. Let me know how that works out for you.
This pet rock just not feeling it anymore. We're just not on speaking terms, and I'd like to return them, please. Actually, you probably get some good money for pet rocks. They're like, what would you pay? Like $1.98? There you go. And sell it on eBay.
Yeah, it's like you're going to make your money back on that somehow regardless.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you what. Speaking of stuff like that, I had to burn my saddle. I wanted to start getting all the Star Wars action figures I had from the 70s and 80s. And I just like, you know, I lost all those. I gave them away, blah, blah, blah. Some were buried in a backyard where I used to live. I want to start maybe getting those back, put them in a case or something. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Well, as it turns out, we know someone who owns a toy store that could probably acquire you several of them.
Well, he's very implemental as to why I want to do this. Like, oh, because they look so cool and everything else. I saw like a Boba Fett action figure, and every Star Wars fan's like, yeah, you got to start with Boba Fett. He's awesome. I'm looking at, with no gun, loose figure, $40. I'm like, Tim, you are out of your mind. So then I looked it up. He is right on par. $40. There's a lot of people trying to get 60 for a loose Boba Fett action figure. I looked at for the Luke Skywalker one, the very first one that I owned. $100. I mean, one of them didn't even have the lightsaber that protruded out of his flashlight that he's holding. Yeah, $100. I mean, I should have saved all that stuff.
I say you could have been you could have retired at that point.
Uh huh.
So much of this stuff, like. These toys from back then that were, no one thought they'd be worth anything.
Nope.
No one saw these collector's markets going the way they did. Like the kids with the baseball cards that just put them in between their bike wheels.
Or the Kiss action figures that came out in the 70s. Those were going for some big money, but even the Kiss fans were like, oh, that's kid stuff. I mean, what is this? It looks like, you know, Charlie's Angels.
Well, no, they graduated onto Kiss coffins and things, so.
But I'm talking about in the 70s. It's like everybody's just like, man, I should have known. I should have known. I should have bought this stuff and stashed it. But I didn't. But
yeah, we all did. If only we would have known. Like, we could all just been millionaires right now. And
yep. So, I mean, kids, you got, you know, all these toys and stuff like that. Don't play with any of them. Just put them
in the attic. Take them out of the box.
No, don't do that. Because then that just completely. But.
The kids appreciates value.
I mean, do kids play with toys anymore? It seems like everything's digital.
I don't know. Like, I haven't been a kid in arguably ever, and I don't have any. And
you probably didn't have any toys. You were probably like 4 or 5 years old. You wanted like an accounting book or something like that.
Because I do so much accounting.
Can I have a rock collection? You were that kid.
I did, however, have a little tape player with microphone thing that actually broadcasts like on the radio and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's
cool. These are the kind of toys my folks would buy, and unfortunately, it set me down a dark path of making terrible career decisions.
And we're all glad you did.
Are we, though? It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It's Happy Hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. I haven't had a good dumb criminal story in a while, and this one might take the cake for the year.
Okay.
From right here in Michigan. Ooh, no less.
Local boy.
A woman accused of stealing an Amish family's horse and buggy from outside a Walmart was found hiding in a motel shower under a pile of clothes, according to Sturgis Police Department records.
Wow.
I have so many questions. Police responded on Saturday to Walmart to investigate a stolen Amish buggy and horse. The owners, an Amish couple from Shipshawana, Indiana, were shopping at Walmart and came out to find the horse and buggy were missing, police said. First thing, are the Amish allowed to shop at Walmart? Like, I feel like there's... I don't know what the Amish rules are exactly. Like,
well, they're not going to buy an electric can opener. They're not going to buy a sound system or anything like that. But yeah, they'll probably go and pick up, you know, odds and ends and stuff like that. But they're like, Ezekiel, I thought you set the car alarm, the horse alarm. Nope, I didn't. I forgot. I parked in a bad part of town in Sturgis.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a bad part of town in Sturgis, Michigan.
Yeah, this is probably
Bad part of town right next to the Hot Now.
Yeah, right. All right, we're going to go to Walmart, then we're going to indulge in some Hot Now, and then go back and raise a barn. Instead, old Tiffany, whatever her name is.
Lana Latosky, who had been seen at Walmart by an officer earlier that day, rode off into the sunset, leaving the animal spot in the Walmart parking lot empty. A truck driver reported the theft after he saw the Amish couple come outside. He offered them shelter from the frigid cold when he saw they couldn't find their ride.
Didst thou park right here?
A witness saw someone getting in the carriage and found it strange to see a non-Amish person get in, though he didn't think to report it.
She's got yoga pants on. She's got Uggs. She's like, oh, this is going to be great. Come on, get up. Come on. Come on, let's go.
The horse's reins were dragging on the ground, and the animal was not cooperating, another officer wrote after reviewing a video police found on Facebook that shows someone driving the horse and buggy through the streets of Sturgis.
That's awesome. I'm assuming the horse is okay.
Yeah, the horse and buggy were left at an Admiral gas station next to a motel because, yeah, we'll drop off the horse and buggy at the gas station. You know, the buggy did not appear to be damaged, and the horse was unharmed. How did you think you were getting away with stealing a horse and buggy? Like, they don't go that fast.
Right, right.
The cops have cars. Like, it's not like we have Amish cops riding around in horses and buggies. Yeah. Like,
dispatch, we're looking for we're on the pursuit of a stolen horse and buggy. Does it have a license plate number? It's a horse and buggy. How about you just stop every horse and buggy with a woman riding it?
Just stop every with a woman riding
it. Driving,
you know,
it,
they don't allow the men to drive.
It's Amish, who knows?
Only allow the men to drive them.
Listen here, wife.
Just stop any horse and buggy you come across. There's only probably going to be like one in Sturgis. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we found it at the gas station, and she was hiding it in a Motel 6 in the shower under a bunch of clothes.
Oh, yeah, that's where this gets even stupider if that were somehow possible.
Wow, okay.
Investigating officers determined she was likely in a motel room and entered with permission from a man at the door. And checked the bathroom of the motel room and noticed there was a large pile of clothes in the shower. Through previous experience, I have seen people hide under piles of clothes. At that time, I picked up the pile of clothes and found Lana Latosky under the pile of clothes.
Unbelievable.
She said she knocked on one side of the buggy and got no answer, then went to the other side of the buggy and knocked. She stated she then got into the buggy and took it home. She told me she had instant regret about taking the buggy, but that she was cold and needed to get home.
So she knew how to drive a horse. Pilot a horse?
I don't know.
Because you're not riding it. You know, you're...
Exactly. I asked her if she ever had any training with equestrians, an officer wrote. And this is the best answer I could imagine to that question. She didn't know what equestrian meant.
Yeah, yeah. I play a lot of Red Dead Redemption.
She was arrested and faced the charges of larceny of livestock as well as larceny between $1,000 and $20,000. Both are felonies. She could face jail time and fines if convicted.
This was the Old West. They had just hang her from the tallest tree. For horse wrestling.
But as it turns out, it's not that anymore, so...
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it here. Sturgis is like right on the Michigan border, basically. Shipshawana is not exactly close. I mean, it's close by like, okay, you get in the car and drive, and it's probably like a half hour or something.
That Amish couple has probably knocked off every Walmart from there to their homestead. So it's like, we got to go somewhere new. They know my face. Yeah, they do, because you're Amish. Let me guess, a beard, no mustache, big old hat.
25-minute car ride.
Carriage ride.
No, 25-minute car ride.
Car ride. So it's
so how long it would be on a carriage, like...
And it was, like, really cold. That poor horse.
Right? Poor... Yeah, that, you got to feel bad for the horse at that point.
The horse is like, I'm kicking somebody.
And I can't imagine you can just take, like, any highway. Like, you probably have to go off, like, the back roads and stuff. Like, you can't just take the main... like M66 out of town or anything, because like, you're going to get run off the road by actual cars and things that are going like 50, 60, 70 miles an hour when you're going like 12 at best.
I remember police in Ohio, where there's a lot of Amish communities, the policemen were just getting frustrated that these young Amish guys would go to the bar and just get blasted. And they couldn't arrest him because they just get in the horse and buggy, and the horse knew the way home. So they just pass right out.
I mean, it's not a bad deal if you can get around it.
And then we read a story years ago where, like, the police chase with a horse and buggy.
The slowest of all possible slow-speed chases.
No, probably that horse is like, I've got warrants. I'm not going back to jail. Slow down, Buckshot. Slow down. They're after us. Not today, copper. And the Amish are just getting beat down with an inch of their life. It was a horse. The horse. Yeah, sure was a horse. Clunk. Hey, look. Electricity. Taser. Made Sean drop his phone and everything.
Right. Amish carjacking, though. Like, I wondered how that would work, and now I guess...
Just a big old musket. Get out of the... Get out of the goddamn carriage.
And you know that musket's not accurate at all, no, either. Like, you'd be firing it, you know, at point-blank range, and it's going to go off, like, the opposite direction.
Shoot your accomplice right between the eyes. But it's a musket, so, you know, they're like, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Barely hit him at all. It's happy hour. It's Solid State Radio. Happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Thursday afternoon. Stick around. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on Sessions. All being well, talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.